An hour later, they spotted the gleam of water in the black carpet of forest ahead, and seconds later the stars were reflected from a large body of dark water directly below them. "I'm going back to check it," Sean warned Job, and put the Hercules into an easy turn, watching the gyro compass on the panel in front of him rotate through 180 degrees before levelling out again. "Landing lights on," he murmured, and flipped the switch. The tops of the trees below them were lit by the powerful lamps, and they saw the river, a dark serpent winding away in the night. Sean threw the Hercules into a hard right-hand turn and then levelled out, flying directly along the course of the river. "Looks like it," he grunted, and switched off the landing lights. "But even if it is the right river, we won't be able to judge whether we are upstream or downstream of the lines until sunrise."
"So what do we do?"
"We fly a holding pattern," Sean explained, and banked the Hercules into the first of a monotonous series of figures of eight. Around and around they cruised, 500 feet above the treetops, crossing and recrossing the dark river at the same point, marking time, waiting for the dawn. "Sitting duck for a hind," Job remarked once.
"Don't wish it on us," Sean frowned at him.
"If you have nothing else useful to do, get the gunner's bag. It's in the map bin." Job lugged the bag to the front of the cabin and set it beside his seat and then settled himself comfortably. "Read it to me," Sean instructed. "Find something in there to amuse me and pass the time." Job brought out the red, plastic-covered top-secret folders one at a time and thumbed through them, reading out the titles and chapter headings from each index page. The first three files were all field manuals for the Stinger SAM systems, covering their deployment in every conceivable situation, from the decks of ships at sea to their use by infantry in every climatic zone on the globe, setting out in tables and graphs the missile's performance figures in all conditions from tropical jungle to high Arctic. "All you ever wanted to know but were afraid to ask," Job observed, and picked out the fourth manual from the bag. "Stinger Guided Missile System. Target selection and rules of engagement. Operational reports." Job read aloud and then turned to the index and chapter headings. 1. Falkland Islands. 2. Arabian Gulf. Sea of Hormuz. 3. Grenada Landings. 4. Angola UNITAR. 5. Afghanistan. Job read it out, and Sean exclaimed, "Afghanistan! See if they give us anything about the hind." Job set the bulky file on his lap and adjusted the beam of the reading lamp from its recess in the cabin roof above his head. He paged through the manual. "Here we are. Afghanistan," he read. "Helicopter types. Find the hind," Sean ordered impatiently. "Soviet Mil Design Bureau types, NATO designation H." "That's it," Sean encouraged him. "Look for the hind."
"Hare," said Job. "Hoplite, hound, hook, hip, haze, havoc."
"Here it is. Hind." "Give me the gin," Sean ordered, and Job read aloud. "This flying piece of artillery ordnance, nicknamed by the Soviets Sturmovich, or Hunchback, known to NATO as Hind, and to the Afghan rebels and many others who have encountered it in the field as the Flying Death, has gained a formidable reputation which is perhaps not fully justified." Sean interrupted fervently.
"Brother, I hope you know what you're talking about,"
Job went on. 1. Impaired manoeuvrability. Hovering and rate of climb characteristics as a consequence of the mass of its armour plating. 2. A limited range of 240 nautical miles fully loaded, again as a consequence of its armour weight. 3. A low max speed of 157 knots and cruise speed of 147 knots. 4. Very high service and ground maintenance requirements.
"That's interesting," Sean cut in.
"Even this big baby," he patted the Hercules control column, "is faster than a hind."
"I'll remember that if we meet one."
"Do you want me to read to you?"
Job asked.
If so, then shut up and listen. My apologies. Go ahead.
It is estimated that several hundred machines of this type have been employed in Afghanistan. Generally, they have met with great success against the rebels, although in excess of 150 have been destroyed by rebel troops armed with a Stinger SAM. These figures alone prove that the Hind can be effectively engaged by the Stinger SAM system, employing the tactics set out in the following chapters.
Job read on, giving the engine type and performance, the weapons and other statistics, until at last Sean stopped him.
Hold on, Job, Sean pointed towards the east. It is getting light.
The sky was pale enough to form a distinct horizon where it met the black landmass.
Put the book away and go and call Ferdinand up here. See if he can recognise where we are and show us the way home.
A strong odour of vomit surrounded Ferdinand as he stumbled into the flight deck, and the front of his tunic was stained. He leaned for support on the back of the pilot seat, and Sean moved to put as much distance between them as possible.
Look out there, Ferdinand,
Sean gesticulated through the bullet-punctured canopy.
Do you see anything that you recognise?
The Shangani peered dubiously around him, muttering gloomily, and then suddenly his expression cleared and lightened.
Those hills, he pointed out the side window. Yes, I know them. The river comes out between them at a waterfall.
Which way is the camp?
That way. Far that way.
How far?
Oh, 2 full days' march.
70 nautical miles, Sean translated time into distance. We aren't too far out.
Thank you, Ferdinand.
Sean broke out of the monotonous figure of eight pattern and levelled the Hercules' gigantic wings. Still low against the forest, he flew westwards, the direction Ferdinand had pointed, while behind them the dawn came on apace, turning the eastern sky a hazy carmine. They chased the shades of night as they fled across the dark hills. Sean aimed the nose of the Hercules at the gap that Ferdinand had pointed out and checked his wristwatch against the panel clock.
Time for news desk on the South Africa service of the BBC, he said, and fiddled with the radio controls.
He picked up the familiar signature tune on the 15.400 megahertz. This is the BBC. Here again are the news headlines. In the United States, Governor Michael Dukakis has convincingly carried the state of New York against Senator Jesse Jackson in his bid for the Democratic Party presidential nomination. Israeli troops have shot dead 2 more protesters in the occupied Gaza Strip. 120 passengers have died in an airline crash in the Philippines. Renamo rebels have hijacked an RAF Hercules transport from Zimbabwe Air Force Base near the town of Umtali. They have flown it into Mozambique, where it is being pursued by aircraft of the Zimbabwe and Mozambique Air Forces. A spokesman said that both President Mugabe and President Chissano have given orders that the aircraft, which has no hostages on board, but which contains sophisticated modern weapons intended for use against the rebels, is to be destroyed at all costs.
Sean switched off the set and smiled across at Job.
You never thought you'd make the news headlines, did you?
I can do without the fame, Job admitted.
Did you get the bit about being pursued and destroyed at all costs? The Hercules was fast approaching the gap in the line of hills. The light had strengthened so that Sean could make out the pearly gleam in the throat of the pass where the river tumbled down over wet black rock.
Incoming! Job yelled suddenly. 1 o'clock low!
With his extraordinary eyesight, he had picked it up an instant before Sean did. The Hind had been lying in ambush, squatting like some monstrous insect in a hidden clearing in the forest, guarding the entrance to the river pass. As Sean saw it, he understood clearly the tactics Frelimo had used to cut him off from the Renamo lines. They would have sent the full squadron of Hinds in during the night, as soon as they guessed where he was headed. Operating at the limits of their range,
The Hinds would have settled in a defensive line, landing to conserve fuel, hiding in the forest and sweeping with their pulse radars, listening in the silence for the sound of the Hercules engines. Almost certainly they'd guessed that he would use the river as a navigational landmark. There would probably be other gunships waiting further upstream, forming an intercepting ring around the Renamo lines, but erring too far south, Sean had run headlong into this one. It leapt out of the forest, rising vertically on the silver blur of its rotor, the deformed nose drooping like a minotaur lowering its head to charge, blotched with leprous camouflage, obscenely ugly and deadly. It was still below them, but coming up swiftly, swelling in size as they converged. Within moments its Gatling cannon would bear already it was training upwards. Sean reacted without thought. He rammed all four throttle controls fully open, and the great turbos screeched as he thrust the nose down, diving straight at the helicopter. He saw the rockets leaving the weapon pods under the Hind's wings, each one a black dot in the centre of a white wreath of smoke as it dropped clear. He remembered the statistics Job had read him only minutes before. The Hind carried 2 AT-2 swatter missiles and 4 57mm rocket pods. He dived the Hercules through the barrage of rockets. They flashed past his head, a storm of smoke and death. And the Hind was only 200 meters ahead, still rising to meet him, firing rockets at point-blank range, but not allowing for his violent manoeuvre. "Hold on!" Sean shouted at Job. "I'm going to ram the bastard!" The killing rage was on him, sweet and hot in his blood. There was no fear at all, just the marvellous urge to destroy. At the last moment, the pilot of the Hind guessed his intention. They were so close that through the canopy Sean could clearly make out his features below the helmet. The Russian's face was doughy white, and his mouth a shocking red slash like an open wound. He flicked the gunship over on its side, almost inverting it completely, closing down his collective, so the Hind fell like a lead weight, trying to duck under the Hercules' outspread pinions.
"Got you, you son of a bitch," Sean exulted,
and the Hercules' wing hit the tail of the gunship. The shock of impact threw Sean against his shoulder straps, and the Hercules shuddered and launched. The airspeed was knocked off her, and she quivered on the edge of the stall, only 200 feet above the forest top.
"Come on, pussycat," Sean whispered like a lover.
He was babying the controls, coaxing her with gentle fingers. Her damaged wing was down, tatters of torn metal hanging from it, whipping and banging in the slipstream, and the forest tops reached up like the talons of a predator to claw them out of the sky. "Fly for me, darling," Sean whispered. And the four engines, howling with the effort, held her up and then gradually lifted her clear. The needle of the rate of climb indicator rose jerkily. They were climbing at 200 feet a minute. "Where's the Hind?" Sean yelled back at Job. "She must be down," Job called back, both of them screaming at each other with terror and excitement and the triumph of it. "Nothing could take a hit like that." Then his voice changed. "No, there she is. She's still flying. My God, will you look at that, Mother?" The Hind was hard hit, skittering out to one side, the tail rotor and the rudder torn, almost completely gone. Obviously her pilot was fighting for her life as she lurched and rolled and wallowed in the sky. "I don't believe it. She's still shooting at us," Job cried, and a smoking rocket trail blazed across their nose. "She's steadying." Job was watching her through the side window. "She's coming round. She's after us again." Sean met the Hercules climb and aimed for the pass through the hills. The rocky cliffs seemed to brush their wingtips, and the foaming white waterfall flashed beneath them. "He's fired a missile." As Job called a warning, the pass through the hills opened up ahead of them, and Sean lifted the Hercules' maimed wing high
in a maximum rate turn. The huge aircraft hugged the cliff face, turning the corner just as the swatter missile locked into the infrared emissions of her exhausts and sped down the gut of the pass. The Hercules cut the turn so finely that Shaun had to use full power to hold the nose level. And looking upwards through the skylight of the canopy, he felt as though he could have reached out and touched the rock face as the Hercules stood on one wingtip. The missile tried to follow her around, but at the critical instant, the Hercules disappeared from its line of sight and the rocky corner blocked the infrared emissions of her exhausts.